Hello, welcome once again to Cortana's Communique, the Halo podcast, a weekly podcast that talks about the television series Halo, Season 2, on CBS All Access, which is now known as Paramount Plus. This is a continuation of Season 1 that we did the podcast for, and you can find this podcast on the same feed as that. We'll talk about that in a moment. I'm one of your co-hosts, Phil, from the state of New Hampshire in the US of A, and with me in the state of New York.
Hi, this is Mike.
Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, Phil. How are you?
Doing all right. And in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Hey, this is Barrett.
Barrett, how are you?
Good.
And in the Canadian province of Alberta, Canada.
Hey, everyone. It's Sean. Hope you're doing well.
Indeed. So for folks who are curious, today is the 4th of March, 2024, that we're recording this. We were going to talk about episode 5 called Illyria, which is the episode that came out on February 29th, 2024 on Leap Day. We are assuming that everybody who listens to this podcast knows everything about the show, and therefore is not worried about spoilers. You're here to hear recap and discussion on the episode. Let's see what else. So where you can find us, you can find us on darkdiscussions.com, the website. That is the website for the network that this podcast is on. All the people on this podcast, you can hear on all the other podcasts that are on the network, because we do other podcasts as well. We do have an email at darkdiscussions@aol.com, so email us there and type in Halo in the subject, and then whatever you want your subject to be, so we know that your email is specifically for this podcast here. We can search for the word Halo, and it'll pop up, and we will read your emails on the podcast. Let's see what else. What else can they find on the www.darkdiscussions.com website, Sean?
You can find the link for Patreon, which is a way people can support the creators that they like. Click on it, go to Patreon. Any financial amount that you're able to donate each month to the podcast helps, because though the podcast is released free in all the different parts of the podcast, there's actual tons of behind-the-scenes expenses that are involved. So anything you can donate helps us be able to keep going and being able to have that ability to do so. For every $5 a month that you are able to donate, you can then pick a movie to go in a draw every quarter that can possibly be picked for a review either on the Dark Discussions main feed or one of the sister feeds, depending on where it falls genre-wise. If you're not able to, even a dollar a month can make a difference for us. But if you, with the financial times as they are, if you're not able to at all, you can still help us by being able to share the podcast and stuff on social media, and just by downloading and listening to us help us as well. So thank you for any and all support that you provided and allowed us to do this since, what is it, 2011 that you started, Phil?
Yeah, that's right. That's when we were here. Yeah. Me and Mike were right there at the beginning.
So thank you for giving us the chance to be able to have this kind of fun, and thank you for any support that you can provide us.
Indeed, indeed. And you can find us, besides darkdiscussions.com, the website, the podcasts are on various feeds wherever podcasts are found, such as Apple Podcasts or Spotify and such. Google Podcasts is going to disappear at the end of March, so you may want to start looking for us on one of the other locations that you can subscribe to podcasts. The feeds obviously are Cortana's Communique. Just search for that. But we're also on the Dark Discussions podcast feed as well, which is the main feed for the network that not only includes Cortana's Communique, but also includes all the podcasts that any of your co-hosts that you hear tonight are also on, including the main podcast, the weekly podcast, Dark Discussions podcast. So that's pretty much it there, though you can also leave reviews for us at Apple Podcasts or wherever, hopefully 5-star reviews. And you can also share this podcast wherever you have social media and let people know about us as well. All right, so that's pretty much our house cleaning. So I guess we can get into our topic tonight, which once again is Alleria, debuted February 29th, 2024, Leap Day. And we are recording this 4 days later. And so let's get into our thoughts on the episode. So let's start with you, Barrett.
Yeah, I really like this episode. It's strange because I feel like we've gotten rid of all of the Spartans except for Master Chief. But it was a good feeling episode. Didn't have a huge amount of action except for at the beginning, but there was a lot of just good character interaction. I just liked where it was going and where it seems to be going. So I enjoyed it. Thought it was good.
All right, sounds good. Let's go with you, Mike.
I liked a lot of it. I felt it petered out at the end and did a thing that pissed me off. And that's not true. I don't care enough about the show to be pissed off. I did a thing at the end that irritated me. It made me roll my eyes. May or may not have had to do with red robes.
Ah, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about now. Yeah. That scene got me too.
I would have been perfectly happy if they ended the episode at the funeral.
Yeah.
Other than that, I liked it. The main thing I think that they did was that for all intents and purposes, the entire cast is in one place. And that should only benefit the show. Whatever you think about all these miscellaneous characters that were never in the games, that's one thing. But the fact that we're not going to get, like, God willing, an entire episode of Quan that has nothing to do with Master Chief now, or at least for the foreseeable future, you know, or an entire, or have to go away from the story we're interested in to go deal with these side stories set off halfway across the galaxy that have nothing to do with what we're trying to get to. I think that's a good thing. And the real side story here was the one with Soren and his wife, and I actually kind of liked that one. And again, a lot of it's just because I really like the two actors who are playing that couple. So, yeah, I thought it was a decent episode. Again, how much of Halo is in it is a whole other issue.
Yeah, I've given up on that.
Yep.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, for me, I liked the episode a lot. I did have some problems with it, though. I know, like, they have characters and they're eliminating them quickly, it seems, after building some of them up to a certain point, which, you know, is fine. I mean, we saw that with Black Summer and other TV shows where they did that. And in here, a lot of these characters are not important because how many Spartans are there really? There's Master Chief in the game and there's no really other Spartans. So it's not like they matter, to be honest, as Mike mentioned, whether you care about these characters that aren't in the game or not. I do agree with Mike about the mysticism. Halo is supposed to be military science fiction. It's not supposed to be space opera and the Force. We don't need the Force. And, you know, when we have this mystical crap, it kind of pisses me off because that's not in the game at all, to my knowledge. I mean, if I'm mistaken, people can email me, but I played most of the games. I skipped a couple in the middle. But, you know,
I think some of that's coming out of the books, Phil, just FYI.
Oh, really? Oh, that's too bad that they went mysticism.
I don't know that it's necessarily mysticism, but it's more of a, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, but anyway.
Yeah, whatever the term is. But it's not hard science fiction or military science fiction. It's like Dune or Star Wars, where they have, like, you know, visions and things like that, and you know, that's not in the game. Maybe that's in the bookstore. I don't know. So fair enough, Barrett. Now, otherwise, yeah, it was a pretty good episode, and we will see where things go. And I'm still curious if certain characters are, even if they're not dead, are they really out of the show for good or not? Maybe, but we'll see. And let's go with you, Sean.
So I'm kind of middle on the road on it. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't super great. I thought it was weird because we've kind of mentioned the Walking Dead stuff before. That it was weird that they had a Negan nod in this episode. And I thought there was a sequence near the end of the show where it felt like Attack of the Clones. So I'm not sure if anyone else felt that when they were watching it. But, I mean, like Mike was saying, hopefully by putting all the characters, miscellaneous or not, together, we can stay more in line with what the actual story will be. I enjoy Soren's character. I thought he had some funny quips here and there and interesting stuff with his wife. So like Mike said, that was a good aspect. But as pointed out, how much Halo is Halo being, right? And like with the mysticism stuff or whatever, like that was also felt, again, I haven't read the books. So if there's a whole, like if it's a lot delve into much more in the books, then that's one thing, but it just felt out of place. It felt like you were jamming it in, or at least that's my feeling on it. So.
See, I see Mind Powers as sci-fi. I don't see it as fantasy, so.
Well, just the aspect of that one woman being, so like, is she an entity, a deity, like what they're going with on that thing? So
yeah, it could be that the planet has some kind of, you know, some of these things are made by aliens and might have an alien presence, like the computer mind. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know the background. Right. I don't know the background of all of it. The stuff I was reading had some mystical feels to it, but not like in a non-science fiction-y way, if that makes sense.
I'm kind of more with Sean that it's more fantasy than science fiction-y, but...
Yeah. I think my understanding of it, and it's a very, very cursory glimpse of the story, is that, you know, you have the Covenant. The Covenant worship these ancient aliens as gods. And the ancient aliens had powers and abilities or whatever, but it wasn't quite as
them making them deities when they were just an advanced civilization.
Right. It's was it Bradbury or Clark, and any sufficiently advanced science is going to look like magic. And that's kind of where you are with the Covenant. But humans never worshipped them as gods, and they weren't gods, and they weren't a spiritual force. But it came across that way.
In some of the books, I think the humans might have seen them like gods. But, okay. I mean, I've only read a couple of the books, but, there's some weird stuff going on in there.
So, I think my issue...
That's different than the game stuff, but anyway, go on.
Yeah, Sean, I'm sorry, were you finished, or did we move on?
Oh, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, that was okay. Pretty much what I was going to say. So,
like, they're going and have been going into a Chosen One narrative. And, you know, Chosen One is a trope.
Yes. Yep.
And there are times that you can use a chosen one trope, and it's fine. That's the whole point of Dune, right? There's a whole explanation as to how you even get to a chosen one. But that's there, like, from the first page of the book or second page of the book. You know, they introduce that concept.
Yeah, and I don't think that concept in particular is in Halo.
Right, and in Halo... The humans are supposed to be the race that the alien is, like, waiting for. The alien's race had prepared their universe for, their technology for. But there was never a chosen one. It was never, and it certainly wasn't fucking Quan. Master Chief happened to be a good soldier who was in the right place at the right time, right? And made himself into a legend. And... You know, this is sort of like when, to me, when they did the Phantom Menace. Now, the Phantom Menace comes out 20, some odd years after the original film, 22, 23 years later. And suddenly, after three movies, God knows how many comic books, video games, and novels, they decide to introduce the prophecy of a chosen one who will bring balance to the Force. So I was like, where the fuck did that come from? When J.J. Abrams...
And midichlorians at the same time.
And midichlorians to demystify it at the same time. Right. When J.J. Abrams did Star Trek, it was no longer just, hey, here's a group of people who are just really good at their jobs. It was the universe was bringing them together. They were destined to be together. And that's kind of what... It's like that. It just was an ill fit for the material. And that's kind of what they're doing with Halo.
I have one question that kind of you're making me think about, Mike, is when I was watching the episode, I take it to understand that the Spartan program is a huge investment. Would you be so willing to just, like, throw them away? Because if they're your best soldiers, wouldn't you be, like, keeping them as assets?
Well, and that is a good question, because I had a problem with that in the plot line, too, because, I mean, I can understand him locking down Master Chief, but the other two that he just leaves behind, that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
And plus the other teams, because they mentioned there's other teams. Right. And like they already sacrificed whatever the Cobalt team. So it's like you're just willing to throw away all these Spartans for your political machinations. I guess you can. But it seems like you don't want to win.
Right.
Taking your best weapon. Let's put it on the bench. And
well, they were already sacrificing that planet. Yeah. I mean, and I get it to a degree, but you at least want to go down a little bit with a fight, not just totally sacrifice it. I don't know.
That was just what I was wondering about. I just didn't know if anybody else had like felt that same, like, why are they doing this? This doesn't make sense as a storyline kind of thing.
It doesn't. It didn't. No. I
swear I've done a little bit of research. So there's that final shot where they just show the last 30 seconds of Attack of the Clones.
Yep.
Yeah.
Where they have a sequence where the reason I said it is because at the end there's a sequence where they're looking over all the clone troopers and the ship's going up, and that's exactly what it felt like at the end of this episode when they did it with Kai. So that's why I'm like, very interesting things to take from. And then like the Sauron's wife having the Negan bat that she made.
Yes.
Lucille. Like, I was just like, that was, I seemed a little bit over the top, but whatever.
Yeah. But, so in doing a little reading, and again, I don't really know the lore. So the Spartans are the Spartan 2 program. And then there's a Spartan 3 program.
Yeah.
Because that's what Ackerson is supporting, right?
Ackerson's thing is. And so to me, this is literally like how in RoboCop you have the Ed 209 versus RoboCop fight. Right? And the back behind machinations. I have a feeling that Halsey's got RoboCop and Ackerson's got Ed 209, right? He's got, or vice versa, whoever you want to assign.
Right.
So it's, I've got my program. The old Spartans are obsolete. They're dying off anyway. There's not a lot of them left. So we're sacrificing them. And I think, because like, you see Master Chief bought the propaganda poster. The plan was because going by what has been established in lore, which we all know means jack shit, the Spartan 3s are like human volunteers, and they have not been nearly as extensively modified. Their armor is not nearly as expensive. They seem to be cheaper and more disposable, but you need recruits. So I think they allowed Reach to fall so they could get the human volunteers to have that Spartan 3 program. That would be my guess.
It's also possible that you thought about this more than they ever did.
Well, the question is why, and they connect it. So I have a feeling that's more or less what's happening.
But that program seems very far advanced. Like, if they start as kids, They're all.
They don't.
Okay. I wasn't
sure. They're like enhanced humans. So I think the idea that they may be. It would be good if they gave us a little sense of how much time has passed. Like, I don't know how long it takes them to get to. What is it, Onyx Prime? We know Master Chief was out for a while. Healing.
Oh, you mean Illyria?
Hmm?
Isn't it Illyria? That's the, where they went, right?
I thought Onyx was the name of the mining place where they went. Oh, we don't know, right, Illyria.
Illyria. Sorry, Onyx, Onyx is the other place that is next week. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But continue.
Right, so and this might be a program, I would guess, with Ackerson, this is probably a program that he's already had up and running to some degree, but now he really gets to ramp it up. That would probably be my justification for it. And I might be full of shit. I might be completely wrong about that, because you're right. We don't know how much they've actually thought about the show. But I think that's why they would be very comfortable with letting their chief asset die, because it's, well, it's going to serve a purpose.
And it outlived its usefulness.
They're obsolete now. We're going to do something. Yeah, they've outlived their usefulness. They're popping their chips. They're not as easy to control as we want. We're seeing with Riz that, you know, they have a limited lifespan because eventually they get too injured to continue carrying on as soldiers. And so maybe something that doesn't cost as much with
right.
suits
well,
that we can actually have people wear on screen.
Right. Well, and also you could argue that maybe Keyes' authority is over Atkinson's, and so Keyes inherited the Spartans, in a sense, right?
Whatever her name is, the one who's behind the scenes screwing stuff up is involved too, I'm assuming, then with maybe tied with Ackerson or whatever. So.
Oh, the Indian woman?
Yes.
Yeah,
I can't figure it. Gansky or whatever her name is. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Mike's point, though, it makes me think that RoboCop did it wrong because they didn't have like a bunch of side characters with miscellaneous quests for no reason. So, anyways,
right? Well, you know, RoboCop.
But it wasn't
a
10-episode prestige TV series and meant to
that's
support an entire new streaming network.
Fair enough.
Which has not done what they wanted it to, if that's
yeah.
Case.
And well, I mean, it started out with gangbuster ratings. I have no idea what the ratings are now.
Yeah, well, rating wise, by critics, it's very high.
No, ratings is in viewers.
Yeah, viewers. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, how many people are watching it? Because they don't give a shit. You can have the best reviews in the world, unless you're winning a shit ton of awards, and Halo ain't winning any awards.
Well, I don't even think the awards matter.
I don't think so either.
I think it's viewership. I think it's viewership.
HBO kept some shows going because of the awards, because of prestige, because it added to the reputation of the network. You know, you could walk down their halls and you could see like the signs of such and such won best actor and such best writing and best directing and best show. That'll carry some of it. Studios do shit just for award season, though usually not. Science fiction epics that cost a ton of money. They're usually character dramas that don't cost much. But they want the eyeballs, they want the subscriptions, and we don't know if it's getting the subscriptions or not.
Right.
And Paramount Plus is in problems too, right? Is that still ongoing?
What's that?
What's that?
Is it Paramount Plus is having like problems like as an organization?
I think all of them are. I think Netflix may have gotten most of its shit straightened out.
But
else is.
But back to the show itself.
Yeah, sorry.
You know, because we've talked about the Paramount problems before and whatnot. But you know, the viewership and all that and whether or not it'll be picked up for a third season or not. I mean, all that's important. But, you know, we can talk about that when we do our wrap up at the end of the season. But for here, this episode here, the specifics related to it in the universe and whether or not it attracts viewers. I mean, I do know that It's getting 69% audience score versus 94% reviewers. And as we know,
are the critics high? That is crazy.
Yeah, it's if you read stuff all over the internet from newspapers and stuff, they're saying it's really good. They love it. Now, again, I'm you can call me a conspiracy theorist, whatever the term is, which is, you know, the TV show CBS is owned by a cable company, which is owned by a newspaper company, which is owned by, you know, on and on. And so,
right.
So they, you know, they're in theory, they're supposed to say, you know, Comcast does own CBS or whatever, whoever owns whatever. And they used to do that in newspaper articles and reviews and even on Good Morning America that we do own Universal music, so we just want to let you know before we start talking about this band and their new album or whatever.
Right.
So it could be that where.
Well, I think we're particularly harsh on the show too. There's probably a lot of people out there watching it that do not care about the Halo game.
No,
my wife loves it.
No, I'm not talking about that. I concur, Barrett. I concur. But the curiosity is out of the viewership, which is 69% give it good ratings. That means there's 69% or more like your wife, and then there's the 31% that are not as forgiving, I guess.
Well, those 64, you got to go also from those are the people that put their message out there. We don't know the people that aren't putting their message out there saying that they hate it or love it. So, you know, it's biased in that way to a degree as well.
No, I've always said that because, you know, we do a podcast, we have listeners and we can see listeners, downloads and all that, but we don't get emails much, right? So it's like, like, you know, so we know people there, but they're quiet listeners and they never comment. So you're absolutely right. There's probably a lot of folks out there that watch Halo that I'm not giving their response either way on Rotten Tomatoes or IMDb or wherever you can leave reviews, you know. So that's a fair point.
Just so you know, right now on Rotten Tomatoes, it's 94% for 17 reviews from critics.
That's right.
So this is not a thing that's gotten like 98 reviews from a bunch of top critics. It's got 17 reviews.
That's not
now,
many.
I was gonna say. So Phil, no matter how much the tendrils of the Comcast company spread out, there's only so many reviewers that they have under their umbrella that they couldn't like stack it that much. They could boost it a little bit, but when there's only 17 reviews, you get a few that lean heavy on it. They were given the first four episodes to watch ahead of time, which means they made it all the way through the Reach episode, and that's where they ended, which I think we all agree is probably the highlight of the season, if not the series.
You know what's weird about that, too, Mike, is that 71 reviews for season one, but only 17 reviews for season two.
Right.
That's an inverse number.
You also have to assume that many of the professional reviewers are probably not big Halo gamers, so they're not going to be judging it. Or they're used to adaptations that do things completely different and don't take it personally.
Well, I got to give credit to the reviewers; they gave it 70% for season one,
right?
Which is
and season one was kind of bad, yeah. but where it's right now, it's 69% for the audience score, and that's over 500 ratings.
That's a fair amount.
Yeah, that is.
So now 69% is still considered positive, but that's not like.
For 2500.
Yay, positive. It's meh.
That's
I'll watch it if I have nothing better to do.
Well, I don't think it's that. I think it's a lot of people are pissed that this ain't Halo, and so that's why it's lower than say another television series like say Fargo or something, where you know I'm assuming it's like closer to 80-something%. That's the problem. And again, CBS or Paramount Plus, if you prefer, is known to do this. As myself, Sean, and Barrett, we did the Stand podcast a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, and they destroyed that as completely. This is, we were watching it and go, this ain't The Stand. This ain't the book. This ain't real. It's all fake. You know, they changed Las Vegas completely in that. So they're apt to do that. And again, you know, this is the thing that we've always talked about, where, why are, and I think you said it mostly, Sean, which is, why are they hiring showrunners that don't know anything about the source material, or
and brag about it?
Or, yeah,
right. And that's the worst part.
Yeah.
Brag about your lack of knowledge and how you're going to make it better than what the creator made it.
Right. It's like Mike, when that guy, that's now been thrown out of Hollywood because of some bad things he did, that did the X-Men movies. What's that guy's name?
Oh, Singer, Brian Singer.
Yeah, yeah, Ryan Singer. Yeah, yeah. I remember when he got hired, and he goes, "Yeah, I don't read any of the comic books. They just hired him anyway, you know." And it's like, why did they do that? But
I don't think that's an issue, because the directors aren't the writers. You know, their job is to shoot it. And Bryan Singer was a big fan of Superman, and he completely screwed up Superman Returns.
Oh my God, yeah. And horrible.
And because he viewed Superman through a weird lens that the average fan wasn't doing the same thing. Rob Zombie did the same thing with Halloween, because he was a huge fan of Halloween. But where most fans were like, man, we love the fact that Michael Myers is just the Shape, right? He's got no character, no personality, no real backstory. He's just pure evil. Rob Zombie, as a fan of Halloween, just was like, I want to know what makes him tick. I want to get a backstory and give him motivation. And like, it's like, no, okay, you're a fan, but you missed the point. If you don't know, like, if I was being asked to be the showrunner for an adaptation of something that I know nothing about, or even if something I do know something about, I would want to first start by saying, what is it that I know what I like about it, if I like it, but what do the fans really like? And let's try to get that in there. Let's make sure we keep these things. There's something we're going to change, but let's keep these things in there if we can. Like when Dredd kept the helmet on Carl Urban, that was huge for the fans, and they hated it that Stallone was spent most of the movie with his helmet off. When they did that version.
Lord of the Rings is the best example.
The Rings of Power. Their helmets
off. Not Rings of Power, no. Lord of the Rings.
No, the actual Lord of the Rings. Okay.
The movies, yeah.
And I would say, like, if you take a look at the Mario movie that came out last year, I am not going to say that is a great movie, but it is a great Mario movie. If you are a fan of the Mario franchise, which is expansive, they didn't get everything in there. They got a lot. It is
they did a good job,
wall-to-wall fan service. And you get what you're asked for, right? They didn't try to appeal to people who weren't Mario fans necessarily. They had a story there, was competently told, but they didn't care if the audience didn't know their various members of the Kong family. And you know, if you were a fan, you're the ones that came to the movie, and they assumed that, and they put everything in there. Now, I don't think you have to do that with every film, but that's kind of the approach you should be taking. And yes, there are some places where sacrifices have to be made. When Sam Raimi decided to do Spider-Man, and he was a big Spider-Man fan, and he said, you know, I'm going to get rid of the technological web shooters and have them do organic web shooters to streamline the story. Some fans are upset, but he got everything else right, so they kind of rolled with it.
Right.
I think fans will take some changes. They will take having a new character introduced, not necessarily three or four new characters that eat up 60-70% of the screen time.
But they have independent stories too, you know.
Right, with stories that have nothing to do with anything that's going on. But they'll take that. You know, but yeah, I think that this is just, again, the wrong way to an adaptation. I think that's what fans are pissed about. That's why it's a 69%. I'm sure there's going to be people who dropped in, watched the first episode, and then punched out. Because it didn't give them what they wanted. They said, we heard that they're showrunners, a new showrunner. We heard that they listened to our complaints, and then they turn it on and they go, and they completely ignored all the complaints. So, and I'm not going to blame them. You like what you like. You can't be wrong for not liking something. Generally speaking, assuming you've actually given it a fair chance. And the show is not good enough that if these are things that mattered to you, that it can overcome them.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah, and doubling down on what was an issue doesn't make it better, usually. And that's what it seems the showrunners, these showrunners did from the previous showrunner, right? As for at least for some of the issues with the show.
Well, they might have been tied into the plot that's already been going. I mean, they, you know, the Quan story being totally separate, they, some insane person said, oh, well, we're going to get to season three, and that's where she's going to become the part of everything. Yeah, you can't write a seasonal story that way because you'll never, it won't last.
Yeah.
The show doesn't last that long because your people don't care. So.
And the studios or the streaming services usually don't carry you that long, even if you're doing like fairly well.
Right.
And there's shows that get canceled that were, you know, doing or providing something that was enjoyable, right? And that's frustrating. But yeah, it's just weird. I guess it's again, it's weird, like we've talked about, to have studios hiring people who are, again, bragging about not using the source material, not knowing the source material. Like, it just does. I can't imagine going into any other field, like being like an architect and you're asked to design something and you're like, no, no, I'm good. I'm going to do something else because I just feel like it.
I'm not going to follow the laws of physics because I just don't think that they're important.
It just doesn't seem like that. Doesn't seem like he would be kept in that that career or profession very long. So
it's just like weird. It's like if you were an architect that was hired to do traditional Japanese architect in Japan, but you never studied it, and it's like,
right, exactly. And you know better than those Japanese people, so you're going to build it this way.
And again, in terms of the story they chose to tell, they didn't just choose to tell a prequel. They because Reach is the prequel. They chose to tell a prequel to the prequel.
That's true.
That people want.
Yeah.
And still, we're not at a Halo, and we're in season two, halfway through.
Oh, we saw one.
We got a picture of it.
All right, let's get back to the specifics to the episode. Yeah. Yes. I want to bring that up. And that's let's talk about Mackie and Var-Gatine and Cortana and all that. What's your thoughts on this? First of all, I still have no idea how Mackie is even alive. I don't think
that's just
it.
Stupid to me.
They should be explaining how she's not dead. We saw her die.
She's under contract.
No, but they should still explain it in the show. That say, oh, I'm still here because I'm under contract or something. But they don't do that. They just have her alive.
I think it's just to piss the fans off.
They haven't made me care about that storyline, and they're the bad guys.
Now that's a question: is Var-Gatine? Is he actually going to turn out to be the Arbiter?
I think he's supposed to be, isn't he?
I don't know. He could be. Which is,
I think I saw someone saying that he was the Arbiter, so I could be wrong on that. But
okay, which could make sense. And that would be cool. Their first scene. I love the scene when Cortana shows the Halo. Because that's what I want to see. But I loved that Var-Gatine was like in awe.
Tricked. Yeah. He got tricked. Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. And they're going off. I still have no idea. I hope he just kills Mackie though, because it's like we don't need it.
And she'll just keep coming back.
Yeah, that's true. She just got back again. It's like, God, get out of here.
But she's the chosen one, and and Master Chief is the chosen one, and Quan is the chosen one, and
there's a lot of chosen ones,
and probably Soren's kid is a chosen one, and you know they'll just, and the woman in the red robe is a chosen one. They're going to just be like chosen seven.
Okay, I want to break in here. I am tired of them having to search for somebody though.
Yes.
Now they're searching for the kid.
Well, they're searching for the kid, and they're also searching for Kai, in theory.
Yeah,
too.
It's just that just drives me insane. It's not an interesting plot line. People getting captured and disappearing constantly. Whatever. Stupid. Anyway, go back with your rant, Mike.
No, I actually didn't mind this because, to me, this is a breather episode. It would say, let's recollect after all the shit that went down last week.
Yep.
So I don't mind this, and this is a perfectly natural place for them to go search for their son.
I don't mind that. It's the plot line itself that bugs me.
It's the
me,
fact
not
that they didn't
that
find him,
breather.
And that this may stretch out for the next four episodes,
yes.
Or even into
right.
three.
Right.
Now,
right. Which happens first, they find him or the halo?
Now, now, I would be perfectly happy if they found out, they find out it's not him, which, they have no leads, and we don't, and it just becomes a case of them having to deal with the fact that they lost their son, and then maybe if the show gets renewed for a third season or a fourth season, this may have been a way to write the kid out, but I have a feeling it's not.
No.
Yeah, I was thinking that too, Mike, write him out.
I remember part of me thought that maybe the reason they killed off the stupid mystical people was a way of acknowledging that the mystical stuff was stupid in the first season.
Nope.
And, I like I said, it wasn't funny enough that I don't think that that's what they were trying to do. But I hope maybe it was. But then this comes around this season. And I'm like, okay, no.
Also,
no, they meant it to be actually something spiritual and significant.
Yeah, spiritual or mystic or whatever. Also, I don't think they have the son. This wasn't to write out the son because the point is why would they even have the son character in the first place? There was no need to even have him in any of the episodes if they're just going to have him disappear and write him out.
Yeah, well, there are other ways to do it if that was the case. I agree. I would kind of like it, but I would agree.
Yeah, because they could have just cut out half all the Sun storyline if they wanted to.
I so didn't notice the Sun very much that I forgot all about him getting separated. I was like, wait a second, the Sun got separated? When did that happen? I was like, that happened back in blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh.
Well, I want to talk about Master Chief for a bit because I felt everything he said in this episode is spot on. Everything. Because, they're talking about the Spartan way and she went back and whatever. And to be honest, he's the most logical and smart of everybody because it's like there was no reason for Riz to go back. And his point was he's dead. And, I get it. You don't leave anyone behind. But, again, like, we're leaving 5 billion people behind.
Yeah.
So it's like, who fucking cares? And, yeah. and he's like, there's no spot in there. He's dead. There's no spot in there. We left Perez's whole family. They all got leveled. We left all of Riz's friends. They all leveled. He's dead. There's no spot in. And all this crap about this is the way it is and honor and but it was just bullshit and he was right on he was right on
in
but
fairness, Riz had just arrived and didn't know that he was necessarily know that he was dead.
I thought she I'd have to rewatch the prior episode because I don't remember that, Mike, but I believe you.
I think, right? Didn't she just arrive at the beginning of the episode?
I thought she was with them because they were in the streets and then made it up into the
yeah, they had been fighting.
Yeah, you're right. No,
she was there.
So if she didn't take her friend who had been trying to help her. She left
his body was there. He was an ex-Spartan too. He was an ex-Spartan too or something, wasn't he?
Yeah, that was a weird decision to go back and grab the body. I didn't get that.
It was so stupid, and she ruined her life because of it, and her career, and whatever. It was. Sean.
No, because it felt like a trope, and I'm like, if you're gonna have her do that, then have her do like the heroic death, and just like at least like
Even want to see that, too, because that's just another trope, too, right?
Well, and I think they were trying to show the power of the Spartans of when she went in there to grab him. But
we already, We know
they don't have their costs. Right. They're using
well, and
the
it
armor.
Doesn't, it doesn't fit because they just got their asses handed to them. So why is she suddenly awesome now just to get a dead body?
Part of me was hoping this would be like, and that's why we wear our fucking armor when we go into battle. And we're never taking it off ever again. I actually thought to myself, and they did shut me up, because when she, I was like, oh, God, she's running in to save him.
Oh, that would have been a disaster, too.
I was
alive,
like,
yeah.
Oh, my
I know.
God. I said, this is so tropey.
You can't
you
get
know,
saved, though. He's dead.
And,
that thing hit
and,
his
or
heart.
Even just to retrieve the body. I said, this is so tropey. I said, you
oh,
know,
yeah.
this was a better, if this was a better show, like, she would get shot for being dumb.
Right.
And then they
yeah.
shot her. And I went... And I was like, all right,
yep.
I'll give you that point. I'll
right.
absolutely give you that one.
It would have been better, though, if she ran in and she never came back.
Right.
You
I would have appreciated that.
Yeah, I would have
appreciated
that.
Also that also would have been bad, especially given that the character may be on the outs.
Right.
Because I don't think they're leaving that planet right yet.
Yeah. So, on a sideline with other characters that were there, are they trying to rehabilitate Halsey, or is she just schemey? Because, I mean, we
that
talked
bothers
about
me
they're
too.
Trying to they're trying to rehabilitate her.
Yes, because the person
Mike
that kills
said
others
that before,
is...
Right? I think Mike had said that before about, the like, are they going to try and rehabilitate her? And,
yeah.
like, you can't.
No.
Why
but
are you
they
doing
are.
That?
They
so.
Are. It's like the doctor from Melrose Place that I told that story
yes,
last
Yes, that
week.
One. Or yeah. from what was it that we talked about? Danger, Will Robinson. Danger.
Yes, yes. I brought that one up too. Yes, yes.
So there was a shot. I'm trying to find it. When he's talking with Halsey. Master Chief is talking with Halsey.
Yes.
Like when he's asking, why did you choose me? And she's got a, you know, she has this look on her face where she's being happy and comforting. And then he kind of challenges her, why did you, and like, and you see her face, she leans back and her face changes and she's not nearly the happy person she was. So that might be an actor's choice and not actual direction.
Right.
And not in the script. So who knows what they're going to do with that going forward. And if at the time they filmed this, if she even has an idea as to her character's intended arc for the entire season. But that gave me at least an inkling that maybe there's still some of that not-so-nice Halsey in there.
And then after, because he was asking, like, tell the truth. And of course, they had to, like, something happened, so they had to go deal with it. But then wasn't when they were walking, she's like, gave her little reason of that he was found. I thought that, or like, she didn't choose him. Like, it was someone else or something else. So, and then I thought she touched on the Halo stuff too, but I could be wrong. But the point is that, like, again, you've shown her for a period of time that she's a psychotic, and, like, she's openly talked about doing psychotic stuff, and you're just, like, it just doesn't ring true that you would then put time in to make her the good doctor, because you have Ackerson as the bad doctor, but then you tried to show him that he's an understandable character, too, and, like, I get having Gray, I understand that, but you have to have writing that supports it. And if you don't have the writing to support it, then you're just... Ugh.
Well, maybe it's part of the thing where the season one pushed everybody into the corner, you know. But again, they wiped out Keyes, right? And Keyes doesn't die until much later in the games. You know, and so that's the thing. And of course, they changed his ethnicity because, you know, it went through the Gemini AI Google thing. But the whole point is they had to come back and say, all right, well, Halsey, we don't want to turn him into a villain, but we already have her as a villain because we're written into the corner. So what do we do? And they go, well, we'll just turn her back into a good guy or something. And because Ackerson is and Kai are so bad now that we can use them. But I don't even know why there's a rebellion inside the in the humans anyway. It's like Death was never in the game, to my knowledge.
Like, it comes back to the point, though, like, because I think I mentioned about this in one of the episodes before, about you literally have an alien species glassing your planets, and you are still busy fighting within yourselves and sacrificing
That's right.
Put these this people
way.
For that, so.
There's a reason why Joseph Stalin and Winston Churchill were able to be buddies for 4 years, because they had Nazi Germany to take out. So, If you're got a group of aliens that are glassing planets, there's no reason that the humans can't be buddies for a few until the Covenant is gone. So when they have this machinations of people fighting people, or they're about to anyway, and betraying people, then I don't know where it's going. Again, I haven't read the books, Barrett. Maybe they make the people
well,
bad in the books.
The books I read, there weren't many humans in them, to be honest.
No,
they happened a long time before this. The humans are scarce and they're very weak. Okay. The aliens are very, very powerful.
Okay, is it the four? Yeah, that's right. Those books are about the Forerunners, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's even before the Covenant, too. Go on, Mike.
I could say, as human beings, I think, as a community expands, you know, we're still tribal instinctively in a lot of ways. We have a circle of like 100 people that we may know, and it's hard to get more people into that and that we identify with. The reason you could have Britain and Churchill and Stalin unite is because it was Churchill and Stalin. They were two individuals. And I don't know that the British people necessarily gave a shit about the Russian people, but they were both under attack by Germany, so that gave them a very direct common enemy. I'm not sure how invested the people in Chile were, right? Or in places that were not actually involved in the war. And here you have a humanity that's spread across, I don't know how many planets exist in the Halo universe that humans inhabit. But I could easily see difficulty getting everybody on board on the same page, because everyone's going to have different opinions as to how to handle the problem. And that's an interesting story to tell in the science fiction story, which is what happens if humanity can't come together because of they allow their factionalism to overcome their
common interest. Or greed for power and all that fun stuff.
Right, but
that's not the but that's not the story of Halo. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a completely different series.
Exactly.
Generic sci-fi story, right? Fine. Like, if this was not associated as Halo, and you just had this as a sci-fi story, you know, that would be one thing. But again, it's when you're attaching it to an established thing that then you say you openly did not read or have any knowledge of. Like, it's just so weird. Just so weird.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's an IP... They have, like you said, Barrett, books. They have multiple video games. They have, whole blogs about the series, Reddit pages, on and on and on. And they decide to have people fighting people, mysticism and spirituality, a human that's ally, that's actually part of the Covenant. And none of this, and then never having Master Chief wear his uniform.
Yeah,
it's like what is going on here?
That I think is a huge issue, but
yeah.
And so I wonder, like, is it down the road? Is there like the idea that they're going to make Quan a Spartan? She can be a magical Spartan, or
I hope not.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. I know. That's all I'm
thinking. I think she's
going
to be a Jedi.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Or she's going to be the what's the name of the character, the savior in Dune?
Paul Atreides, Maudib.
No, he's not Cataract.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Say that again, Mike.
was that Todorok?
Yeah.
That one. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. The savior or whatever.
Chosen one.
Yeah. Quizak, something or other. Yeah.
I know this is a little side topic, but Barrett, you might appreciate this. There's like in the Flight of the Conchords, they have an episode where the one guy's talking about the ones, and you could have many number ones when he's talking about true love. And at that, when you were talking about like, there's so many chosen ones. That's just like that's what it feels like with the show. It's like everyone can't be the chosen one, because then it's not chosen one. Like chosen one is specific.
More like a chosen pentagram.
Yeah.
It's a Venn diagram.
We've got the chosen 1 million. It's you know, it all filters out down in time.
It's Oprah's halo. You're the chosen one. And you're the chosen one. Everybody's the chosen one.
Now, back to specifics of episode itself instead of the whole adaptation. What do we want to talk about specifically about the episode 5, Illyria? Is there anything else? I mean, we brought up Soren and his wife looking for the kid, and we brought up Riz and her problems, and we brought up Master Chief and him being the logical one, and we brought up Halsey and how they were trying to make her become a good guy again, as if none of the bad things matter. What else do we want to talk about?
Kai and Ackerson are bad.
Yeah. It's looking like Kai and Ackerson are bad. Yeah.
I mean, what did we learn about Kai? We just see her overseeing the troops.
But she gave the nod to Ackerson, so that's bad.
I don't know about that. I mean, I know she gave the nod.
Let's replay that, Mike. Do we believe that they're going to make Kai the antagonist Spartan or human, or are they going to have her be antagonist but then be redeemed and say, what am I doing?
I don't think she's doing anything wrong. She's overseeing the new army that's meant to fight the Covenant.
But the question
I think it's just that Ackerson has manipulated events to get the army he wanted, and he's using this the destruction of Reach to drum up the army and get, you know, he's basically using, it's not quite a false flag operation.
Well, let me ask you this, Mike. Let's go back to Kai, though. What are they doing with Kai? Are they going to make her, what's going to happen to her in the next few episodes?
I think she's that's a way to make, to remind viewers she's there.
That's
she's
the going to
be in charge of these troops. And my question is going to be, because I don't know what they're planning on doing with her, my questions were going to be what happens when she first finds out that Master Chief is still alive, and under what circumstances? Like, is it something that she's going to hear about, or is she going to actually see him personally, and that's how she finds out he's still alive, and then we will see what happens as a result.
But
and that they were left for dead.
But that's right. Another thing too is, does Kai even care that they're dead? Like, for example, Master Chief goes, where's Kai? Is she here? And they go, well, she's probably, you know, everybody's thinking, oh my God, she must have got wiped out like everybody else on the planet. And, you know, but we're not seeing her perspective or Atkinson's perspective, so we don't know if Kai is, like, you know, having nightmares and trying hard, you know, drinking heavily because, oh my God, all my friends are dead. You know, we don't know that. She seems like...
I can't take anything out of a 3-second shot.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm just curious what people think, whether or not we can learn anything from that 3-second shot. What do we think are they trying to do with the character, and are they planning to do anything with her that is opposite of Master Chief and allied with Ackerson? And if so,
this is intended to be something ominous, but given that it's a story about war, showing the rallying of the troops, I don't exactly find ominous. I mean, you know, it's the only reason that it's ominous is one, that they are literally aping the Attack of the Clones final shot. And we knew that was supposed to be ominous. And the fact that ever since he first set foot on screen, Ackerson has had secret villain stamped all over him. and he's there doing his best Palpatine. But I don't know how much of that rubs off on her, because we don't know how involved she is in what she knows. And it's really hard to guess. Anything would be just complete speculation.
Yep. What about you, Barrett? What do you think they're doing with Kai?
I mean, she was convinced by Ackerson to abandon Master Chief, and she made her choice. I don't know where they're going to go with her, but I mean, I don't like her character as much because of this development. So.
Right. What about you, Sean? What do you think?
Going with Barrett, the idea, like, because I thought the whole idea is they train loyalty and teach loyalty for the Spartans. So yeah. That Kai's character is so quickly able to be mesmerized by Ackerson's secret evilness. Like, it just seems weird enough. Like, is it going to be a situation where when she finds out that Vanek is dead, that Riz has quit and that Master Chief, but they were all left for dead, and that she was taken off to the Promised Land, like, would she not have an issue with that? Especially if they were a team? Or is it a situation where they're just now saying she cut her ties and she's fine?
Also, we know there was that one scene where she got pissed at the Master Chief and said that, you know, I killed Mackie and you're insane. So obviously she may think Master Chief has behavioral health issues, and her dismissal of him or dismissiveness of him is pretty quick. So maybe she
extremely quick.
Yeah. Unless maybe she's a cluster B. Maybe she doesn't have any feelings for anybody.
She took her emotion chip out.
But you can take your emotion chip out and just be and still be a cluster B, I would assume, right?
Probably.
But Master Chief lied to her.
Yeah, that's true.
But she gave up on Vanek and Riz so quickly then.
Yeah.
If she had issues with Master Chief, that's one thing. But she doesn't care about her other friends?
I don't know. Again, we don't know what was going on. And also, let's remember, at the time that this whole thing started, most of her team was scattered about in different places in the city, and she didn't know where they were. I don't know where she was. And
but this is like, something they should have. That's something they should have addressed, because
no question.
Yeah, because there's
it was just way more important. We spent time with Kai. Kwan.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because character-wise, it doesn't make sense. Even with all the things that are happening, it still doesn't make sense to me. Because there's just too many connections she has. She's fought too long with them to suddenly go with Ackerson, whether she thinks Master Chief has a problem or not. If she thinks he has a problem, you would think she would try and help him, not just abandon him. It goes against her character, everything that they're showing of her right now. And she seems so pleased with where she's at. And I don't know. All that bothers me. It just doesn't fit her character.
Yeah. And I see your point, Mike, about, 3 seconds. But again, the question is, was that 3 seconds there just to show us that Kai was still alive? Or was it there to intentionally make us know that she is becoming villainous, or maybe being manipulated into thinking she's doing good but doing bad? And
we don't know. I think also,
but again,
showing us that she's alive and she's working with Ackerson and probably in charge of these new troops.
Right, but we understand that's what you think. But you're the one that always says the great line on the Dark Discussions podcast, which is a lot of that stuff is put in there and purposely. Because otherwise, why would they have it? Because
it's put in there purposely when it's done well.
All right, that's fair. All right, I get it. Yep. Okay.
They might have been just like, this is a cool scene. We got to show them this.
But like, yeah. I could say for someone who liked Kai as a character from the first season, that this little making her become the solo person doesn't reflect well on the character that was supposed to be there. At least it doesn't for me.
But you know what? I thought they were transferring all of Kai from season one to Riz. And earlier in this podcast for this season, I said I kind of like how now they're focusing on Riz instead of Kai because I wanted to, you know. And then they're about to write out Riz, so it's like, what the hell? You know, it's like, oh, okay. So,
I'm getting whiplash.
Yeah.
I'm gonna hold out about a 10% chance that before they leave this planet, like somebody talks some sense into Riz and to rejoin the battle. She's at a place where she's like kind of giving up, you know, she was already having problems beforehand. And honestly, it makes some sense that this would be where she says, I'm out, right? She just saw her friends die, and be abandoned by the people she's supposed to be fighting for. So,
well, and said that she's diminished too, right? Told her that she'll never be the soldier that she was before. So
right, and she's injured, and she's in pain.
But why did
they
do that?
She can't be as good as she used to be. You know, she's the ball player is 38 years old and can't catch up to the fastball anymore.
But why did they do that so soon into season into the not even the season, but the series?
I think they probably, if I had to guess, and this is just a complete guess based on what TV shows in the past do. And when they suddenly start getting rid of a bunch of characters that are on staff, a lot of times it's, we need to get the budget down.
Yep.
And they have gotten rid of Vanek. Now, sometimes it's also for story purposes. I don't think you could do the Fall of Reach without having multiple characters you care about die.
Right, especially when they have no suits.
At the very least, there should have been one main character who died, and I would not count the blind ex-Spartan as a major character, let alone his husband.
Right, right. But they wiped out Keys, Vanek, and now removing Riz from the show, right?
Right. So getting rid of Keys early on, okay. Actually, not early on, because it was just last episode, wasn't it? So they've gotten rid of Keys. They got rid of Vanek. They got rid of Riz, maybe, although not dead. They got rid of the blind guy.
Mentioned, the blind guy wasn't that important. Right.
It wasn't that important. No. So they have narrowed this down a bit. That could be so that, you know, they could focus and condense the cast and keep the, and one of the problems is that we all agree the first season was not focused, and this will help them stay focused. It will unfortunately help them stay focused on the characters that I care less about.
Yeah.
Well, and they might've gotten rid of Soren's lair because that's a lot of characters too, that just don't have to be shown ever again.
Right. Right. We may never go back there. And that's that whole storyline that, the rubble, other than maybe an occasional guest appearance in the future, is over with. So hopefully, Soren could very easily end up stepping in and replacing Riz or Vanek. So now that would get us that. I don't know if they bring back Kai, but you know, hopefully they bring an attempt to get a squad back.
Well, then that'll be Quan. It'll be Quan takes Kai's place.
Oh, God, stop saying that. Oh, God.
That's what I'm scared about.
You're kind of being evil here.
I'm sorry.
It must be your ginger
nature.
I'm also
Canadian, so that's what we do.
Ginger nature.
You're going to like Cousin Oliver, no matter whether you want it or not. We're going to keep forcing Cousin Oliver down your throat.
That's true.
Oh.
That is true. No one laughed except me, Mike. They may not get the reference.
Chachi, how about Chachi? Whatever. It's like they're taking the character. It's like we need a new character.
Stephanie.
Yeah.
From All in the Family.
Steffi and
This is the
classic. We're going to introduce a new main character to make the show
like
fresh and exciting.
We talked about Poochie the dog.
Yeah, we Poochie the dog, but they do, but they're doing it. They did it in the first episode. With episode one.
Poochie the dog.
But you know, God, I hope she's not. Again, no offense to the actress who does a decent job with the part. It's not her fault that they had that they have no idea what they were doing with the role. She doesn't fit. She doesn't make it. And now they just decided to saddle. And just as I'm like, okay, she's there.
And she's more wiser than Master Chief.
Well, there's that. And I don't care if Master Chief's not that wise because he's Master Kick-Ass. He's not, you know, Master Yoda. But
right, but they have them both on opposite extremes. Like, they have the body, so you just bury the body. You just do it. And Master Chief's going, no, there's no body. He's dead. And then you have Quan doing the opposite, which is, we have to respect, there's honor. And it's like, why aren't they both in the middle? And you know, instead of one being...
Well, because they're trying to... I think they're...
And the other one being...
She didn't even know the guy.
Right.
I mean...
Yeah, you're right. She didn't even see him alive.
Right.
No, but I think she makes the point that he's not, it's not about him. It's about everyone and everything that she's lost.
Right, but I would think Master Chief would have not acted like a jackass like that. And it has nothing to do with him being stupid.
And I think that's the writing, and not great. I know what they're trying to do. They are trying to remind the audience who the Spartans are supposed to be. And Master Chief is trying
they
to reclaim.
Don't have armor.
I was going
to
say,
trying to reclaim that Spartanness that he's let go slack since he got his chip removed. Which, am I correct? I didn't realize this, that there is no chip in the game. That they're just.
I don't think there's.
Yeah, there's no chip. There's nothing.
This was the creation.
Yeah, that's just made up.
Oh, then I like that even less.
Yeah. Well, the whole backstory of them being like these
stolen children.
Halsey was like a psychopath. Halsey was a little
questionable. We couldn't just have the drama of the war. We had to add in all this crazy ass backstory
needed. People are damaged children with a id that's damaged from their childhood and you know, we didn't need all that, you know.
But I think that is actually out of either the games or the books that's the Spartan 2s were these recruited, abducted, whatever children who are then experimented on and kind of treated harshly as they're growing up.
Which again reflects Sparta,
which reflects actual
Hits,
Sparta.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, right, which may be true, but it has nothing to do with the video games.
Yeah.
I know that.
Well, I don't know how to get into it in the games or not, but that is part of the backstory of these characters.
Right. But
the
college
that he
football
was the,
teams named the Spartans, and you know, because it's cool. It's
no, but
not
that's
because...
the background from the video games, from the series, whether it's the books, the comics. Or the games, I can't tell you, but that is already
sure
part of the background.
That? Are you sure about that?
Yes.
All right, fair enough. I haven't seen it because it's not in the games itself.
And that was when I was looking up the different Spartans, when I was trying to figure out what this was special about these soldiers, because clearly this was, look, ominous soldiers appear. These are somewhat important.
They're clones!
That set me down.
Yeah.
And that sent me down a rabbit hole as to the different breeds of Spartan, the ones, the twos, the threes, and the fours now. So that was supposed to be a thing. But there was never supposed to be a thing that I chose you, and then, oh my God, you're tied to this mystical artifact. That was the part that wasn't there.
Right. Well, even if it's there in some book or something in the series, I didn't see it in any of the games, and that's not what I care about. I just want to see.
The thing that was in the books that I was reading was like there is some connection to the Halo itself.
What is
but,
connection?
But, well, and it's very confusing because there's all these different series of histories. Yeah. So one big alien race. The humans are around.
Right, right. I'll tell you what it is.
The humans are around for a lot longer than you think. Right, they just go down to barbarism and then back up.
So basically, what happens in the in the backstory is that there was this race that created these groups called the Forerunners, and so the Forerunners are like half living, half android, but become biological basically, and they rebel and they wipe out the bad guys that created them, and except they kept one prisoner for information and stuff, and then they created a great society, and then the flood came, and the flood is like this disease, zombie disease that kills everybody, and so to stop the flood, they created seven halos. Yep. And what halos are, these weapons that will blow up like a nuclear bomb, but obviously in a much larger area. Because
it's supposed to reset it, isn't it? Supposed to reset the universe or galaxy?
Well, that a certain area. So basically what it does, it wipes out all biological material within a certain area so the flood can't expand.
Can starve.
Yeah, we'll starve.
And then the flood were created as an answer to, because the Forerunners and someone else, was it the architects or something, were like fighting, and so the flood was created as a weapon to deal with them, and then they got out of control and
right. And so what happened was is that they pretty much the Forerunners then decide that they've been controlling the universe too much, and so they decide to go to another galaxy and they disappear.
Right.
And then the Covenant and the humans both appear, and the Covenant believe the Forerunners were gods, and the halos were the way to bring everybody to salvation. So basically, like a suicide bomber. Like if we blow up everybody, we'll go and have the 42 virgins type of thing.
Hold on. So in the books I was reading, the halos were created to save all of like the different genetic creatures and things out there created by the Forerunners to save them, like arcs.
Well, they are little. They're like mini planets that are rings,
right? So, and they're meant to. Yeah. They're like but I'm they're saying. They're like the Ark, the Noah's Ark. They're but meant to save all the animals and humans.
But they are a weapon where they'll blow up and then wipe out a whole section of the.
Yes, they could be used as weapons as well.
Yeah. So it's like a end of the world detonation to save other universe, other galaxies.
It's a weapon used to wipe out all life in the galaxy at the same time. It's save all the life in the galaxy.
No. What it is, it wipes out the solar system that it's in, so it won't the flood won't spread to the other solar systems in the galaxy. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah, I see.
So
it's like it's a scorched earth policy, is what it is.
Right, right. Whatever the books say, I don't know. That's what Barrett said, so that's fair. But in the games, that's what.
Yeah.
The rings are for.
It's the nuke at the end of Return of the Living Dead, right? We have to contain the contagion.
Right.
Well, and in those books, the humans have been around for a long time. They're being treated like animals almost by the Forerunners.
Yeah, right, right. The Forerunners the Forerunners decide that they've become corrupted, and they say, you know what, we can't do this anymore. And then they just leave. And when they leave the halos behind. And then the problem is that the Covenant show up and they say, oh, we can use the halos to blow up everybody because that will bring us all to salvation.
Yeah, and then you get the splinter group within that group down the road in the games, right? So
yes, yeah. One of the heads, I forget what those heads are called. We saw them once in season one. Decide to rebel and exactly, and so that's where the Arbiter comes in. He has to go fight the Rebeller, even though the Rebeller is probably actually the good guy, even though he doesn't know that. And then. Yeah. The humans are there to stop the Covenant from setting off the halos because not only are they killing the humans, but they then want to take the halos and blow up all the solar systems. And so that's where the war comes in. Yeah. Now, what that has to do with the TV show, I don't know. Or Spartans themselves, I don't know. Except that the Spartans, at least in the game, were the elite warriors to fight the Covenant, and that's why. And we get the first term. We finally get the Master Chief called Demon in this episode.
Yeah.
He's considered a demon by the Covenant because he's the one that killed all the Covenant people, and so they consider him like the anti, like a not an anti-hero, but like Darth Vader is to the Emperor, or demons are for Satan, you know, in Christianity or something like that.
So my question is, with whatever the latest Halo game is, are they going to have like a special DLC for Quan?
Don't even say it. Yeah, well, the Halo game is pretty damn awesome, even though Cortana's already gone. But Weapon is basically Cortana.
It's the replacement, yeah.
Yeah. Also, I want to understand, Halsey finally got to see Cortana either with one of these latest episodes when she was about to get her before she was stolen by what appears to be the Arbiter. Didn't question that Cortana isn't played by her anymore.
Yeah.
I don't get why they changed Cortana's appearance. I just don't get it. From season one.
Trying to make her look more like at least one of the iterations of the video game.
Yeah, maybe.
For subject matter they weren't following.
True.
It's anyway interesting reasoning that they have.
Now what else? One thing I almost laughed. It's just a nitpick, but I almost laughed was when Quan says, "I'm gonna bury Vanek myself," and I'm looking and it's snowing and it's the middle of winter. There's no way she's gonna be able to dig into that.
Dude, she was pulling the body. That's impossible.
That's true too. Yeah.
I was like, that guy has got to be at least 300 pounds.
Yeah, when people die up here in New England, they put them in this little crypt in the cemetery until
they can bury them. Yeah, because it's too. Yeah. They don't get a crane out or a dump, whatever.
Yeah, and a shovel. A shovel ain't gonna do shit.
Right.
Yeah.
No. That actually makes me another point I was thinking about as we were watching them in the transport. That the transport in a very cold looking climate isn't covered.
Well, this
even at night.
You know what? This is because we have Southern California people writing a story about winter.
No, she doesn't make any progress in trying to dig in the ground.
No,
so,
but I'm also talking about what Sean just mentioned about the vehicle. But anyway, continue, Mike.
Okay. I think she's just an idiot.
No, that's true.
At least about that, for sure.
Right. I think that was a part of the point. Not wise all the time.
Right. But I did like Sean's observation about the vehicle. That was good. Just like the monkeys in the grass. The monkeys from Last of Us. That was awesome.
Oh, that was good fun.
Oh my god, that show was so good. I don't care what anybody says. That show sucked. People can say whatever they want.
But it had the two high moments, that with the monkeys doing the landscaping.
That was awesome.
And then, of course, for me, it was the Depeche Mode song at the end of the first episode.
Yeah, but you could just listen to that on your CD.
I could, but
or Apple phone or whatever. But I know what you mean. It's always cool to hear a song that you like, even if the movie or show sucks. It's like, oh my god, they're playing a good song.
Or if the scene is just really perfect for that.
Yes, and
song.
They just forgot that it was a horror and that they had zombies in the show, in the story. So, but. I don't know what else there is that we can at least I can think about for this episode. I think we pretty much covered all of the different things, but I don't know. I was very concerned that it was going to be totally sidetracked,
right,
from Reach. So at least it wasn't,
right.
But it still has lots of issues. that are.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this. We did get to see about 45 seconds of a Halo through a TV screen.
And that's all we're going to see for the season.
and that's what I said when we began season two. I said, it's not looking good for season two for Halo because episode 8 is named Halo.
Yes. So it'll be like they'll get in the last 30 seconds, if we're lucky, of the last episode. They're going to like be outside the Halo. And then let's see what happens for season 3 that never comes.
Well, you know.
So do you think Cortana's an intentional? Because they had that like weird flashback scene of them when Master Chief was being operated on. Is Cortana being used as a Trojan horse?
That's a good question.
How do you mean?
But they take her out of the chief, right? And then have her so that the Covenant can
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Come and get it, right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
But it sure seems like she's manipulating them.
Right.
And that may very well be why they were perfectly happy to let them take Reach, was knowing that they were going to come and try to take her.
That would actually be a neat plot line if that's the case. Cause
now, how did they know that they were going to come and try to take their AI away? I have no idea.
Right.
But that really doesn't make that doesn't make a lot of sense on their end. Like, how'd they know about Cortana and... No,
because
that's
wasn't
the thing
there
they
something
want.
On, one of the thing was on Reach, one of the relics.
Yes.
And that's why they came. So maybe, because we're like playing all the sides, they decided to give a little message to them. Hey, come and kick Cortana. She's here. No one protect her.
I mean, to be fair to the show, I'll say that Mackie kind of knew about Cortana from season one, right? So, but I didn't
know
that
she
knew Cortana was that important, though, either.
Right, to know where to look for her.
Actually, Cortana was taken, right?
And for the human to know that they were going to care that much about it.
Right, exactly. And also, it wouldn't even matter because everybody thought Mackie was dead. So it's not like they're saying, oh, well, we're going to trick Mackie to come. Because that's why Kai even said she's dead. No one. Everybody thinks she's dead, except for the Master Chief.
They were all fucking
wrong.
And
Ackerson. Ackerson knows that she's not, right? Because that was the whole thing, was what gaslighting with the Master Chief.
Yeah, maybe you're right, yeah.
So, yeah, like, maybe the Inner Circle knew that then, but it's now you're becoming, like, it could be an interesting idea if you had writing to support it, but I don't think that they do. And if they haphazardly get to it, it's not going to pay off. At least I don't think it would pay off very well because they don't have the writing to support it.
Right.
Yeah. It's doing too many swerves. Like a swerve here and there is good, but like everything is a swerve. It means that it's not a swerve.
I also am very disappointed that they're not using the music from the game because the music from the game is fucking awesome. And it's real music. It's not just like crapola music. It's the people that made the Halo music are the same type of people that would make movie music. So it's like, why don't they just use the Halo music from the game?
Because, or at least awesome. Like pieces inspired by that. Like it's
right.
Last season
exactly.
I thought the music was better. This season it's not as good. Like I even noticed it watching this last episode. I'm like, doesn't have the same oomph that I like. Like, basically, watch the opening sequence, like the title sequence, where they have the music, and then that's it.
Right.
Because that's all they ever have. Like, that's all that, in regards to actually being effective and, like, feeling like the Halo music, right?
Right. Yeah, because I'm looking up, some of the information on the original composers. And, I mean, these guys are the real deal, I mean, they're not, like, nobodies, so it's like...
I don't think they skimped on that when they did the game.
Yeah, so there's no reason why they couldn't use these guys, or use their music, as you said, Sean, based on their music, and then they just have someone else being the conductor or something, but I don't get it, but... I mean, because during the battle scenes, that music is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
you know, and they could have had that during the reach, you know. So I mean, you know, these may be nitpicks, you know, I mean, maybe they're nitpicks, but I don't know. It's I think the music is iconic, you know, just like Star Wars music is iconic. You know, anybody who's fans of the game, it's iconic. You know?
But it comes back again to being, you know, let's have some Halo in our actual Halo show.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, and that's probably the reason why that 45 seconds was the best part of this episode, because it was like, oh my God, it's the Halo. And we have the aura to stand in front of the picture of it. It's like, this is awesome. Oh my God. And then it's ruined because Mackie has to speak. Like, why is she even in the show? Get died already.
How is she alive, God damn it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know, seriously. Well, I was reading some article about how they're killing off all the black characters in the show, or writing them out, like, or because technically, Riz is ethnicity, the actress that plays is half Caucasian and half Caribbean black, and so they're writing her out, and then they killed off Keyes, and then they killed off Vanek, you know, and so the woman was complaining about it in the article, you know, whatever, and. The thing is they're killing off the wrong characters. They should be killing off Quan and Mackie. You know, it's like, that's what she should be complaining about. Not, you know, it's like, kill off those characters. We don't want them.
This is like, I remember in the early seasons of The Walking Dead, they would kill off one, they would bring in a new black character and then immediately kill off the pre-existing black character.
Right, right.
So they were like on a conveyor belt of black characters. And,
I remember that, yeah.
And in no way, shape, or form do I think that was intentional. Right. And a lot of times with Walking Dead, it was just the actors were wanting to leave the show. And again, it could just be that like an actor wanted to leave the show and they knew, oh, well, we need to have a new black character to replace them. And that's why that happened. I don't know what's going on here. Yeah. I mean, who do they kill off? They killed off, the Admiral. They killed off Riz. They killed off Vanek. They killed off Blind Guy. And if you notice,
yeah, because the blind guy, he was,
it was black.
Yeah.
Colorblind. We're not really sure. Yeah, I saw that too, and I don't think it's an intentional thing. I don't know, like, why they chose those particular characters. I thought Riz has an interesting storyline.
Yeah, getting rid of Riz is stupid. That would piss me off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was really disappointed with that at being at the end. That was not. Yeah, I didn't like her leaving.
But if you're going, if you're trying to minimize the cast and you're doing ethnic checklist casting, which is what Hollywood does now, well, we have a black male who could step in to take Vanek's role.
Right, they do.
In Sorin. Now, I think Sorin and Vanek are very different characters. I don't think. I mean, Sorin can fill in his spot on the squad, but he would not be the same kind of character.
Oh no,
right. But it's a shame that we have to compare, like, oh, they're replacing one black character with another black character. You know, we're going through the Gemini Google AI again. And the thing is that it shouldn't even matter. It's just that they're killing off the wrong characters. That's the real problem. But go on, Mike. I'm sorry.
No, so I'm saying I'm afraid that might very well be why they killed off Vanek. I don't know. Now Riz, they haven't killed her off. They're writing her out, mm-hmm. and I'm still holding out about it. Like I said, about 10% chance that's a temporary thing.
Yeah, the right hiring or something.
I mean, they wrote out Mackie. She's back.
Oh my God! God damn it!
And, get out of here. And exactly what ethnicity is the Arbiter? That's what I want to know.
Well, Mackie is. They have to.
How does he identify?
She's Irish. So they have to keep her in because they have to have some sort of European in the show. Maybe who knows? But yeah, the Arbiter. That's a good one, Mike. I like that. Yeah.
The Arbiter's probably Canadian. We'll go with that.
Yeah, the voice of the Arbiter. What is the voice of the Arbiter?
I don't know who he is, but...
Yeah. Yeah. He's awesome, though. Oh, here he is. Victor Aberblom. He is Swedish.
Oh, there you go.
He's a Swede. Oh, very good. Oh, actually from Sweden. Oh, all right, so they have to keep the Irish woman and the Swedish guy together. So we got to keep a couple of Europeans.
Well, keep telling you, Phil. They're all Swedes.
Yeah. Even the Covenant is their Swedish man. All right, so anything else that we want to talk about this episode?
I think we're good on my end, at least. I am.
All right.
We didn't really talk. Like I said, I did like Soren's speech in dealing with the two women who he believes have bought his child.
Right.
And like I says, you know, I'm happy that he found you because, you know, if we didn't come for him, I believe that, you know, you would love him and take care of him. I love the fact that you have this brutal killing machine taking a very different approach in solving the problem.
Right.
For
nothing, though, because it's the wrong person.
Yeah, it's the wrong kid, yeah. I do like the actress. The actress who plays
his wife,
the wife, Lauren, I'm really kind of digging her, and she
has...
Yeah, she's
pretty cool.
Yeah, she has
a look that is just unusual but intense and just kind of reminds me of someone like, I don't know, maybe like Amanda Plummer or Veronica Cartwright, in that she's
okay,
just got this...
Yeah, all right, I'll go with Veronica.
Meaning that
she's better
not,
looking than both of them, though.
No, but I'm saying that she's not, it's not a conventional look, and she's got these kind of, the eyes are kind of have this, I don't know, I think I'm going to go snap any second now. Sort of like,
she's
I see
Irish
that with my
Irish,
kid. I'm Irish, yeah, that helps. yeah.
But continue, okay.
Yeah, I'm just going through... It was cute. It's forced humor. I don't know if McKee is the one to do it when she's trying to figure out how to turn Cortana on. And she's like, I summon you! And I thought that was mildly funny. But join his fight for the, I noted the propaganda posters for the guy that they left behind to die. Yeah, I think that's about it. I'm trying to find, and then you just get the stupid thing. There's this vision of with Quan, and I don't understand. And where did the, and it's like this, woman who appeared briefly that Quan never met.
Yeah.
Is now somehow
that makes no sense.
Let's be honest. There are a plethora of dumb characters that have been on this show in both seasons. And I think if you ask the viewers, because I'm not entirely sure how many of them would call themselves fans, but I think if you ask the viewers, who is the dumbest, dumbass character that's been on this show, I think she has a real shot at being number one. And that was for a very small role. And somehow she's being portrayed as somebody important in the greater mythos. And that's just depressing, because it's also, by the way, making Quan more important in the greater mythos.
But that was a really good observation, Mike, that the woman from episode one of season two that had a small part is dead. Quan never met her, and yet Quan sees her ghosts.
Well, and it's a manifestation of the planet or the universe or something.
Right. And this is the thing that you brought up, Sean, which I've been complaining about too, which is the spiritualism or mysticism or whatever you want to call it. It doesn't fit into Halos, at least from the game point of view. At least from the game point of view.
This is what they call equine excrement.
What did they call it? What was his name in Doctor Strangelove? Guano,
yeah.
Named after batshit. That was awesome.
Someone asked, it was like an internet meme, a Facebook meme. It was like, of all the animals that shit, why is it that batshit is the most crazy?
Yeah, Colonel Fat Guano. Officer who finds Mandrake and Ripper. Yeah. That guy's great.
Great movie.
Oh my god, Ripper. When Mandrake goes, "Hey Jack, I'm feeding you. Oh, no, this is great movie.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
I think I'm tapped. I think this, if it had just ended with the funeral pyre, it would have been so much better.
Anyway, all right. So I guess we can wrap up the episode. Oddly, I did enjoy it a bit more than before. But before we get into our final thoughts, Mike, what's the main podcast that we do on this network?
The main podcast is called the Dark Discussions Podcast. Your home for all film, fiction, and all that's fantastic. We've been going since 2011. We're closing in on 650 episodes. We've been running through a spate of clearing out our backlog of listener requests from our Patreon subscribers. We still have one or two more to get to. One, because it's hard to locate legally. And another one, I'm not sure. We're close to finishing.
Getting
that cleared up. But unfortunately, we're also heading to the point in the year where now movies are starting to come out. And we're missing the lull, that early beginning of the year lull of releasing crappy films. That was the one lesson of all the lessons I've taught my children this year. The one I hope they take with them is that they release the crappy films in January. Don't get your hopes up.
Indeed. All right, sounds good. And Barrett, what's that podcast that me and you do? And then we have other co-hosts that join us every so often.
Halloween Boutique Psychotronic Reviews. We do lots of different things there.
And Sean, what's a podcast that we just wrapped up about a TV show on Netflix?
That would be Boa Hancock and the One Piece, based on the live action One Piece series on Netflix. That was awesome. Watch it and listen to the podcast.
Indeed, indeed. And then another podcast that me, myself, Mike, and another co-host, Eric, do on the side is called Cinema A La Carte, which are films that the three of us would like to talk about, but wouldn't necessarily fit or were picked for the Dark Discussions podcast. And so we do them there. So we do films that are not necessarily straight horror or thrill films, but are different, such as Hostiles, the Western starring Christian Bale, or Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, the mystery comedy that starred Val Kilmer and Robert Downey Jr., Starlet, the film that Sean Baker directed before he started becoming an Academy Award nominated filmmaker, and various other films like Collateral.
Edge.
Yeah, I thought it was the Tom Cruise show.
Yeah, because we did Collateral, which is Tom Cruise. We did Jack Reacher, the film, which is Tom Cruise.
Risky Business.
That's that episode that's actually in the queue to come out shortly. So, yeah, so that's the type of podcast we do there. All right, so I guess we can get into our final thoughts on this episode here of the television series Halo. Alarion, I think it was called again. Alarion?
Yep.
Barrett, why don't we start with you?
I like the episode. I mean, talking about it, of course, will bring up some things that are not so great about it. Some of it I've just gotten to the point of overlooking it because it's just not worth getting too much feeling about it. But generally I like this episode. I thought it was good character development. But other than that, wasn't a very action-packed episode. Just moved the story along a little bit.
All right. Sounds good. For me, Larrier, I kind of like this episode, better than some of the others this season. But obviously when we talk about each episode, it all goes back to, the problems with, its lack of, following the universe that it's supposed to be in. So obviously there's a lot of complaints, But generally for episode 4, the Halo TV series, it was fairly decent, even with some issues that we did bring up that bothered us. Let's go view Mike. What do you got?
Yeah, I like this episode. It's a step down from last week just because it's not the Fall of Reach. It's not as action-packed. I mostly like the fact that with the one exception of the stupid Mystic, they've gotten everybody together, even if it was a little contrived. And that they have actually thinned out the cast a little bit, so hopefully the show can get some more focus. But even so, like even though it's like it was a completely random thing, I liked the Soren side and wife side quest. And mostly because I thought the writing was pretty good on the part in terms of the dialogue, and I think that, you know, the actors just knock it out of the park. And yeah, then that's and we saw Halo, so we're getting there. Sometime in the next 3 weeks, we might actually make it.
All right, sounds good. And Sean, what do you got?
Yeah, so I'm kind of middle of the road. It certainly wasn't the worst episode. It certainly wasn't the best episode. I hope that somehow redeems itself down the road.
All right, sounds good. All right, so that's pretty much the end of our episode tonight. Once again, you can find us wherever podcasts are found. Make sure to switch from Google Podcasts shortly, because in a couple of weeks it's going to go. But either way, we will talk about next week Onyx, which comes out March 7th, 2024, and we are going to record that episode on March 11th, 2024, and to have it released on March 12th, 2024. Hopefully folks are okay with our discussions, because again, we do unfortunately land up on the negative side a lot, but that's what emails are for, that you can either email us to let us know why we're wrong or why we're right, and how you are happy to hear other people who felt the same as you, or just somewhere in between. You can email us at darkdiscussions@aol.com and just put Halo in the subject and whatever your subject is, and we will read your email on the podcast as long as it is cordial, because even if you hate us because you hate our opinions, that does not mean your hatred is rational. It means that you don't understand that people can have different opinions. But hopefully you're actually enjoying our take, because again, we're here to give 4 different opinions on a subject, just as if you went to any of the websites to read about reviews or recaps of each episode. All right, so I think that's pretty much it. So with that, Mike, want to do this one?
Well, thank you once again for listening to Cortana's Communiques, our review of Halo Season 2, Episode 5, Illyria. Please tune in next week, and we'll talk about Master Chief's helmet some more.